I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Conditions recently became so alarming so many Negroes were leaving, wrote an Alabama official. When the state began making anyone caught enticing blacks away, labor agents they were called, pay an annual license fee of $750. In every county in which he operates or solicits immigrants, or be fined as much as $500 and sentenced to a year's hard labor. Macon, Georgia required labor agents to pay a $25,000 fee and to secure the unlikely recommendations of 25 local businessmen, 10 ministers, and 10 manufacturers in order to solicit colored workers to go north. But by the middle of World War I, those laws were useless. Northern industries didn't need to recruit anymore. Word had spread, and the exodus took on a life of its own. Every Negro that makes good in the North and writes back to his friends starts off a new group, a Labor Department study observed. So the South tried to choke off the flow of information about the North. The chief of police in Meridian, Mississippi, ordered copies of the Chicago Defender confiscated before they could be sold, fearing it was putting ideas into colored people's heads. When the people kept leaving, the South resorted to coercion, an inception worthy of the Soviet Union, which was forming at the same time across the Atlantic. Those trying to leave were rendered fugitives by definition and could not be certain they would be able to make it out. In Brookhaven, Mississippi, authorities stopped a train with 50 colored migrants on it and sidetracked it for 3 days. In Albany, Georgia, the police tore up the tickets of colored passengers as they stood waiting to board, dashing their hopes of escape. A minister in South Carolina, having seen his parishioners off, was arrested at the station on the charge of helping colored people get out. In Savannah, Georgia, the police arrested every colored person at the station, regardless of where he or she was going. In Summit, Mississippi, authorities simply closed the ticket office and did not let northbound trains stop for colored people waiting to get on. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. I'm your host, Rod, and joined as always by my co-host
Karen,
and we are live on a Wednesday ready to do some podcasting. We took yesterday off. I was just tired, and plus I knew I was getting a new computer in and all this stuff, and we'll get into that. It's hilarious, as you guys can tell, but at any rate, that excerpt is from The Warmth of Other Suns by Isabel Wilkerson, and I love that kind of stuff, to know that, because our people that migrated from the North, you know, they were heroes, man. They were like really leaving under some fucked up situations.
So come on.
And what I really think about the most is, because, you know, I'm just picking an excerpt from the book, but all these chapters and all these pages and all these stories I've ever read about just how white people hate niggers. Mm-hmm. And specifically in the South, right? There's nothing worse than a black person, right? We're lazy, we stank, we're rapist, or we're just promiscuous women that are taking all the white men, you know, like we are abhorrent, you know, we're ill-mannered, sinners, all these things, right? So you think nothing would make them happier than to be rid of our black asses.
Come on, get the hell on.
You would think the mass exodus of Negroes away from your jurisdiction
is what you want in this white utopia,
right? And yet somehow every last fucking story is how much they did not want to let us go.
No, because the thing is, if you let us go, what do you have? Eventually y'all gonna just turn on each other. We can't do that, so we have to have somebody below us,
right? And like, there was no bigger nightmare than for one of these plantation owners, one of these people that own like a farm or something, to wake up and all the black people are gone. And black people had to be surreptitious about how they left, because it was forced to make it, like, we were forced to be that way. Like, they were sitting up there basically like, listen, if we catch you leaving, we're gonna stop you, like, under threat of arrest. You know, that's one of the reasons sharecroppers made it so that their the people who worked on their fields, they made it so that, I'm sorry, that's why the people who owned the plantations made it so that the sharecroppers, the indentured, basically black people,
right,
always owed money, or if they barely broke even. so that they can never save money. They can never find a way out to get that train ticket and stuff. The, you know, like, this is the, this is when people talk about like the ills of capitalism and how it's, this is late stage capitalism. It's never been worse than this. It's been worse than this. It's just happening to white people now.
Come on.
Like, they, like, it's no, you know, no shade to the people. I don't think capitalism is some great thing, but whenever I hear people say that, I'm always thinking to myself, like, it was worse for, it's trickling up to white folks, and now it's the worst.
Right. Now everybody wants to pay attention to be concerned.
Now we in the late stage, right? Like, but yeah, it's interesting how, like, they did that. And also, like, the ingenuity with which people use the escape, like, people you know, hiding themselves and mailing themselves to the north and shit. You know, going to, you say you're going down south, so you go to another town down south on the train, and then you take that train to the north, so that you know, right? It's like they were on people, man. People were like send, and then like the way they tried to stop people from sending back, well, they tried to stop northerners from coming here and recruiting labor, because essentially what the northerners was like, we got factories up here,
come on, we got jobs,
and we need laborers, and no one works harder than black people. And after the, and I think it was during World War One, a lot of the flow of white immigrants was cut off. So where you had these factories where maybe like Polish, Italian, whatever, like people would come over and they would work in these factories. Well, now that wasn't happening anymore. Mm-mm. And so where are we going to get labor from? Oh, there's a huge labor pool that is being underpaid, undervalued, underappreciated in the South, desperate to get out. And they will go find black people and go, hey, we don't give a fuck about racism no more. Come up here and work. Now, of course, they were still racist up north.
Right.
But they were paying more.
Come on.
And if I got to deal with some racism from, you know, some motherfucker from, they used to be my master possibly in the South, and I can deal with some racism from some white dude up in the North, but I'm getting paid more, that's where the fuck I'm going. And that's why a lot of black people left. And so they started finding the people who were fucking recruiters. Like, hey, you need to pay $500 as a fine, and you're going to do a year in prison because you came out here and asked black people to go to better opportunities in the North. You know, it was never about fairness. Remember, I mean, keep in mind, what is the tenet of capitalism? Hey, you go and get paid for your labor wherever you want to, wherever you can. You know, like,
that's not for everybody.
Hard work, blah blah blah, and they rigged the fuck out of that game. It's never been real.
Today.
Yep, it's never been real, dog. Mm-mm. So
it's all a trick, and the thing is, it's so much big of a trick that you have people that are not paid that out here protesting, willing to die because of the economy, because they are so tricked and so just hook, line, and sinker, just bought into the system that they can't see it any other way.
Yep, it's amazing when you think about it and see the past, man. It was just like, wow, they always were on our ass, man. Like, hate us but love us and can't do shit without us. That stuff blows my mind. Oh, and then the fact that they were like, well, if we stop these white people from coming out here and telling them there's good jobs, well, that'll fix the problem. It's like, mm-mm, actually it won't, because every black person that gets into a better situation, we love our community and our family so much, we immediately start telling them like, hey,
we're gonna get back,
they paying, we staying, you know, now come through. Like, and that's what it would happen. That's what would happen. Like, a lot of people would go north because one person made it up north and started telling about how good they were doing. People up north actually sometimes would not do as good as they could because they care about their family in the South so much, they would send them extra money.
Mm-hmm.
So the extra money that they could have been balling with, they were sending back home. Right. To say, hey, pay for this, and hey, come up here with me, like, get this money too, like, it's good, it's, you know, it's safer up here, all that stuff. So, you know, it's just interesting that when you think about that, man. And I also, that's one of the reasons I try my best to not do too much of the like black people from this place are terrible and black people from that place, because it always reminds me when I read this book specifically of how much we are connected and how much blackness connects us through all types of classes, all types of locations,
right? No matter where in the country you are, you migrated from somewhere, and most likely somewhere down south. No matter, right. And the thing is, for some black people, they was like, Oklahoma, fuck it, we ain't going no further. You know, Wyoming, fuck it, we ain't going no further. That's why we scattered all across the country, because we was like, up north, anywhere up north is better than here.
Right. And you could actually, she even says in a book, when you do the research, you could actually follow the tributaries, the rivers and the lines of people moving. Like, the people in Spartanburg, South Carolina, go to this part of Virginia. Like, you can do that because that's how specific it was. It meant some ancestor somewhere settled in Virginia, start writing back, hey, come to such and such Virginia. This is dope. It's much better than Spartanburg. And you can, and you start seeing the trickle of all these black people from this one area going to that one area.
Just leaving.
Yeah, this area of the country goes to Chicago. This area of the country goes to New York. Like, you can just tell because that's where the people were writing them from. And so, I don't know. The book always makes you think about those connections and how beautiful it is and how, you know, I know it's generations later and people change and, you know, people feel differently now, but I don't know, man. I'll just try to keep that feeling, you know.
Me too, because it's one of the things where I believe that your blackness is your blackness no matter where you are, and we're all connected, you know. So, you know, people have, like I said, it's generations, so it's the kids by now. And so most people have been there, you know, 4, 5, 6 generations or longer. So for some of them, this is just how it always been, but it really is not how it always been. And this is why they, a lot, particularly people up north have a disconnection with people down south sometimes, and have these myths and these theories and this shit they make up, just out of the lack of knowledge and not knowing.
Yep.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere, friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything, take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow, a reading rainbow.
That's right, a reading rainbow. So let's see, what should we get into first? Oh, actually, you know what, I have to get into some money right quick. You in the free stuff? I'm in the free stuff. And I think you should free your sexual expressions, guys, by going to Adam and Eve. Okay? They gonna get you some free stuff to spice up your bedroom. Okay? And you know we love spice. Alright? We're not talking that salt and pepper to taste. Mm-mm. We talking that cumin. Okay, we're talking about that coriander. All right. Select one item at 50% off, and then Adam and Eve will give you loads of free stuff. And they won't be the only one dropping loads. Everyone's going to be dropping loads. Enter offer code TVGWT at checkout and get 10 tantalizing free gifts. A sexy item for him, a special gift for her, and a third item you'll both enjoy. And 6 free spicy movies, plus free shipping. Okay, get yourself free by going to adamandeve.com and putting in code TBGWT so you can be free. All right, guys, get the diddling. Sometimes we all got to swim upstream. You ain't no saint, we all a sinner, but you put your good foot down to make your soul the winner. Respect that. Yes, Karen.
And I'm about to say, you gonna talk about the computer?
Sure. I mean, it's not much to say. I mean, I ordered a computer. I was like, we need a new computer. You guys been hearing the show lately. It's moving slower and slower. When I restarted, sometimes I get this alert like, hey, one of the fans is gonna fail. I was like, you might want to replace it. And I was like, why replace it? It's just easier to buy a new computer. Well, it's actually easier to replace it, but it's been 4 or 5 years. We need a new computer. And I thought, why not, you know, take a little bit more money and go get a nicer computer that can do like all the audio video type shit that really needs to happen. So I was like, I'm gonna get a gaming computer. You know, I won't be using a computer for gaming, but cutting edge specs, it does what, you know, it's probably designed for people playing video games, streaming video games, being on Twitch and shit like that. I'm like, cool, right. let's go get the latest shit. So I went and spent the extra money to get this like gaming computer, and I got it from Best Buy, and it was gonna get delivered, you know, through the mail, because you know I'm not gonna go up there. And although now I'm seeing the thing we'll get to that anyway. It got here, I unboxed it. I was a little disappointed because the dude that delivered it, I had to sign for it, and they don't do signing anymore. But he like came to the door, and then he like stood with like say 5 feet instead of 6 feet. I was like, hey, backed up a little foot into my house, like, last name, yes, Marl, go ahead and get the hell out of here. And then I held my breath and pulled the box inside, and then I lights all the air down. I know, y'all, I know. Anyway, so we get the computer. It was an Asus, some type of gaming computer, ROG, something of gamers. You guys ever heard of this? I don't know shit about gaming computers. Something that Aaron would have probably like freaked out at, you know, he probably would be like, oh my god. But I got this computer, a Republic of Gamers, there you go. So I get this computer and I'm hooking it up, and turns out that lucky for me, I started preparing by taking a portable hard drive, attaching to my old computer, and moving everything over, you know, just moving like all the files for the podcast, all the stuff, music, anything on that computer, you know, documents and stuff, just move it over to that, so that when the new joint comes in, I just unhook this and put the put the other one in or whatever. I go to hook up turn it on. Oh, when it turns on, it's so beautiful.
It is.
That shit was like Tron.
That shit lit up and lit the room up. I was like, who turned on the sparklers?
Yeah, that shit like fireworks going off every time you turn it on, which I did about 300 times, because apparently the fucking thing didn't, the card for the monitor didn't work. So every time I hooked up the HDMI or the, not HDMI, the VGA cord, it wouldn't read. Now, I'm not an idiot. I've been around the block. I know my way around computers.
Cause I don't know what the VGA cord is.
I'm more annoyed than I am like, when shit like this happens, I get more annoyed than I get like, oh my god, I'm confused, what's happening? I'm like, okay, let me run through the fucking trouble check, you know? So I just start troubleshooting everything, like, could it be the cord? I find another VGA cord, it ain't the cord. It could it be the monitor? I'm hooking, the monitor was working for my last computer, so that doesn't make sense, but I hook it up to like a TV, because it's a desktop, I can't get I can't look at any of the specs on the desktop without a fucking monitor, you know what I'm saying? Right. So it's not even like, let me just download the latest. It's nothing I can do. Mm-mm. It's the most frustrating. It's like, not frustrating, it's, yeah, it's honestly the least frustrating error if you're gonna have one, because it's like, yeah, okay, well the shit broke, there's nothing I can do, you know? And then it's like, before you return it, give them a call. So I call Asus, like, what's happening? And they was like, yeah, man, did you do this? I was like, I did all of this shit. I did it all. This shit don't work. I Googled a thousand things, different combinations. I went on all y'all's message boards, all y'all's help forums. This shit broke, bruh. What? Give me my code. And so he gave me the code to return it. And then he was like, yeah, well, it looks like you got it through Best. Oh, And y'all, this shit felt suspect. When I took it out the box, it was a sticker on the back that I could have, like, it almost fell off, but for something told me just hold on to it, because the sticker just looked like it should be sticking onto the fucking desktop. Mm-hmm. But for some reason it had fallen off, and so thank God I did that, because the fucking serial code, the serial number was on that fucking sticker. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how the fuck the sticker, the serial number always be like really firmly stuck to shit. So I'm like, what is this? It's like a motherfucking open box special, and y'all ain't tell me, because it didn't say open box on the website.
Didn't say refurbished.
Right. So I was just like, you know what, man, I just need to get me a motherfucking return. So I got a return. We went to Best Buy, and there was like, they closed at 6. We were gonna try to do it and then come back and do the show, or you know, maybe not do the show, you know, just dependent. But yeah, we came back. They were like, we actually stopped taking returns at 5:30.
Yeah, it was real organized. That Best Buy was like, nobody coming to the store. They literally had like 2 people standing up at the double doors that open to enter. They had 2 people standing there, and they was like, what you want? They went to go pick that shit up and bought that shit back to you.
Everyone had mask on. Everyone was social distancing. You pull up in your car, they have the parking spaces numbered, and then depending on your space, they call you and facilitate your return through the space. I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cause I was worried about returning it to the store rather than going to like a UPS or mailing it back or whatever. And when, you know, that alleviated all my worries. I was like, oh yeah, I will definitely go back to Best Buy to deal with them, because they're taking the shit serious.
Mm-hmm.
So I did appreciate that. But man, it just sucked, y'all. And you know, I saw people being like, well, you could build your own computer and all this shit. I'm like, mm-hmm. I actually don't want to do all that. I just want to buy a desktop that just the tower and hook it up like I've been doing. You know, I got a really dope monitor that it's old as shit, but it's like really, it was really ahead of its time at the time, so it still was. Is. So I just want to do that. You know what I mean? Like, no harm to the people that prefer, but I'm not getting it for gaming. I just want to do business shit on it.
Right.
So I'm not even concerned about like
keeping the specs up and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to be swapping out parts, hopefully.
Yeah. And you know what? I guess that explains why it was so, I won't say see through, but like it had so much open space in it, because it's designed to kind of put stuff in, put stuff out, expand the memory. That makes sense now.
Yeah, so we'll see, man. I'm, you know, like I said, it was a bummer, but you know, new computer and we're working on it. It reminded me of the very first time we did the podcast and we had to buy a new computer because our old computer couldn't even do anything. And then we got the new computer and the podcast almost never started, y'all, because we got home and the audio card, the sound card was busted. We ran through all the troubleshooting problems. Keep in mind, each time we found out it was busted is us recording. So yep. it's us recording and being like, why won't this shit play back? Okay. Keep in mind, it's our first time doing it. So it's like, is it us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can computers not do this?
Yes. And y'all, I think this happened twice. I think we got it. That, sound card was busted. Took it back. Got another computer. I think that sound card was busted. I think we did. It was two
different problems. So the first time was just our computer was trash and we had to go buy a computer. We went to go buy a computer, came back, the sound card was busted. Then we went back to Best Buy and got another computer. And like I said, it may have been 3 computers, but I'm pretty sure it was just the 2. And then we figured out how to record, and I mean, we knew how to record the whole time because I used to rap and I used to record these terrible, terrible raps, y'all. And they were,
Sweetwater Tybola.
I was using the computer for evil, making raps. And,
when I tell y'all that almost didn't happen, y'all, that like, if you ever go back in the archives and listen to the very, very first show, we probably sounded so tired because it was.
There's no probably to it. We did sound so tired.
It was like, you know, midnight, 1, like, because we was up for hours. Like, we had recorded umpteen times.
And keep in mind, we're going to have to edit it. you know, afterwards. So
yeah, then as we got finished, it was like, how you put shit on iTunes? I don't know.
Right. It was just a big ass hassle. And so in a weird way, 2100 shows later,
right?
And plus various spinoff shows, you know, that's how I felt. That's the start to our first podcast.
Yep, number one.
Lupe Fiasco. I used to love him.
It's 100% worth the time that you spend waiting to see it. It possibly revolutionized the way that movies will be recorded and the way that we'll see movies.
Wow, we were so young.
From this point on out when it comes to major releases. Even the previews, like Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, yeah.
They looked
awesome. Must have been talking about Avatar. So tired sounding. So
what?
So exhausted. So,
y'all like
so unconfident. People not unconfident of my voice or unconfident mm-hmm. of my opinion. Unconfident of, is this shit recording?
We hope it's recording. We have recorded 10 times today because that's the thing. We kept recording and recording. It was like, nope, 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 nope. Then going to Best Buy, coming back home, and going to Best Buy, coming back home.
That is the sound of two people being like, this is probably going into the ether for the third time in a row.
I don't even know. We hope they get it. Fuck it.
What we talked about. You know, but it's probably, if you're a podcaster, it's probably better for your first episode to fail and you have to re-record it 3 or 4 times before you get the first one out. Probably makes your shit better. Probably.
Mm-hmm. And you know what that also does? That, and every podcaster who has podcast for any length of time, knows this. That's why you have double and triple recordings. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people go, You record 2 and 3, you have 2 and 3 programs all running at the same time, all catching your shit because something is bound to go wrong and you don't want to have to do that shit again.
Yep. So it was,
cause I remember one time we was actually recording a live show. It's hilarious. We're recording a live show and, the recording, didn't start and everybody in the live show actually heard us talk for like 30 minutes with me, you and Justin. I think it was me, you and Justin. And so then we re-recorded and all the jokes was about, what we had previously talked about. You either got it or you didn't.
Yeah. So you're not really a podcast until you lose a show.
You are not officially a podcast until you were like, fuck.
Yeah. We still have a episode of the show that,
is MIA, ain't it?
Yeah. We still got an episode of the show that nobody's ever heard because I can't find it.
What number was it?
I don't remember the number off the top of my head, but I just know that episode, it just don't exist. It's just gone.
We don't know what happened to it.
Yeah, I remember asking the audience a long time ago, like, who's seen episode like 39 or whatever? It was like, body. Like, this shit is
nobody.
Gone.
Oh, before we move on, shout out to The Ring, because, we ordered, I think DoorDash, when we ordered some food, and the man just stood there at the door, and Roger had to go through The Ring and tell the man to leave.
I actually just did that through the door, but sure.
Oh, I thought you told him to do the thing.
Mm-mm. I went to the door, I was like, hey man, you can leave it, like, we good. But alright, so I guess we can, get into other stuff, man. But those are terrible. Terrible times. But you know, that's one of the reasons I'm glad that I didn't like erase this computer or anything like that. I was like, just in case, my mind was working on some, like, just in case, you never fucking know. So you know, you gotta be careful with this shit, because you think that you think your shit is all good, and then you look up and be like, whoops, apparently I should not have done that.
And the wrong time to find out is when you actually need it.
Right. Like, this is, you know, say whatever you want to about my mind, but my whole, like, the way my brain is like, that shit might not work. You should probably, like, be prepared for it to not work. It helps sometimes. Cause my mom was like, this computer show up and don't work. I think it's one of the things that keeps me from being so frustrated. Like, I see people all the time when something goes wrong and they're just like, fucking Razor Frasm, Yo 7 and Sam. And I don't really get like that, cause most of the time I'm just like, yeah, that's about right. Shit don't work.
I was like, you talking about me? I try to be prepared. I clearly do. If I'm used to the scenario, I'll over prepare. If I'm accustomed to the scenario and kind of ran through situations and stuff like that. But I'll get frustrated and then I kind of calm down and then I kind of work through the process. But I think initially I just become frustrated.
Yeah, I really don't normally get mad because my expectations are in the gutter. Like I was like, for most people, they would be like, the lowest thing they were thinking is this shit wouldn't work. For my brain, the lowest thing I was thinking is somehow that I wouldn't get my money back. You know what I mean? Like something like that where they'd be like, and sir, you opened it, so there's a no return policy on open computers. And
my mind wouldn't even went there, because then I'd have been really pissed in.
Yeah, that's where I would fight, like right around there. I would, everything before that, I'm like, yeah, send me a new computer. Even if they would have said we only do exchanges, that's cool, exchange me the what I want working, that's the transaction we are having. So
before we move on, we was talking about people being on the social distancing and things like that. I went to the orthodontist today. Mm-hmm. And shout out to them, because what they did was they reopened. They was actually ahead of the curve. They actually shut down like 2 weeks before North Carolina shut down, and they was like, we shut down 2 weeks and then it ended up being 2 months. You know, because mm-hmm. that was kind of was like, we're going to clean up and all this stuff. And they sent an email that was like, look, everybody wear a mask, we checking your temperature. They was like, we spacing out appointments. They was like, all common areas you can't use. They was like, you can't use the coffee machine, you can't use the water fountain. They was like, we no magazines. They was like, and when you get here, you text us, sit in your car, don't come in here till we tell you we ready. Like, they was really, really on it. So that's one of the big reasons why I went, because I was like, what happened was that I needed a retainer, because I told you I washed it. So I needed a retainer because I paid too much for these teeth for me not to have a retainer. And so it was quick. I was in and out in less than 10 minutes because they don't do molds anymore. They do like a digital imprint. And then when I go pick my mold up, when I go pick up my retainer, they give you a mold, and they would say, if you ever need another replacement, you bring this mold, we'll just copy this. You bring the mold in and we'll just make a copy of your retainer off the mold, so you don't have to go through the process again. Yeah. It was like, we just want to eliminate people constantly having to come in. It was like, we're trying to like eliminate the interaction with the patients, particularly ones with retainers. So, and they was clean and they wore masks and, they were really, really clean. So I was like, okay, I haven't been to the doctor yet. I don't think I'll be going to the doctor or dentist anytime soon. But they were actually on top of it, and they practiced it too. Like, people was literally sitting outside, and they was like, we only seeing the patients only. So it's like a parent and a kid. They was like, no, your kid can come in, you got to stay outside. They was like, 'cause we don't want anybody in the lobby that ain't supposed to be here. You ain't got no appointment. No, bitch, we ain't trying to get sick.
Yeah, after the coronavirus stuff, if we all make it through, I hope they keep some of this shit,
because they are,
some of this stuff is just better business practices.
Yes.
And so, you know, I hope people don't, like, I think this is going to change people forever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's services and jobs and businesses and ways of doing stuff that people are learning can be done differently and more efficiently. Because when else are you going to go to the orthodontist to be in and out in 10 minutes? That's because they eliminated all the fluff, you know, where it's like, we can pre-scan your insurance, or, you know, you can pay with online, or you can, you know, we'll do something with your, we'll bill you later or whatever, and just boom, boom, boom. Like, it's going to really step up people's efficiency level. And I hope that stuff, some of that stuff anyway, sticks around, you know?
Yeah, they get rid of a lot of the not trying to funny pointless interactions that they have just out of customs.
And like I said, some of it, because KK is bringing up the parents and the kids. Like, obviously not that, like, once parents can't escort their kids in, they're gonna continue to do that. That's kind of a no-brainer.
Oh yeah. But they were just doing it for right now. Right. But you know, even with that, they probably will still space appointments out, so they have a limited amount of people sitting in the lobby at one period of time and things like that. Because they just don't want people all on top of each other and stuff like that. So that's one thing that I really did appreciate them.
Even the Best Buy, like, do a return from the parking lot shit. Like, why not? You know, that would be, that would be a dope thing to keep.
Yeah, and you know what, and to an extent, all jokes aside, on some instances, customer service is actually better now. People won't admit that, but on some, but customer service is actually better now. You know, they, you're not gonna have somebody have a pointless conversation with you, you know, for people that don't like them pointless, cause they like, no, I'm trying to get your ass in and out, cause I don't want what you got, and I'm trying to get to the next customer. And so I think that, like you said, things like that, I think that a lot of the curbside pickups and things like that, some of this stuff, it will end up staying, and I think it will benefit us all.
Yeah, for things that can be changed.
Yes, yes, they're not gonna change everything, but I think the, I think that's changing, and I think customer service and the way people consider customers is gonna change, and also, we talked about this before, but I think people working from home is going to change too.
Alright, let's get into coronavirus.
Shows which parts of the country could run out of available hospital beds. Anna Werner joins us from San Francisco to break down the numbers. Anna, Bay Area residents are being told to stay home.
Premeditated urination, hand sanitation. I draw down the illustration with this animation. Running down with potassium rounds, got bananas racing. Bet I change his facial expression when his hammer face him.
Channel 8 him. Ambulance came and did all they can to save him. Hand to hand but can't even shake him. Fear of contamination. Bittersweet to fuck with a real one knowing you can't replace him. Cameras tape the holes through his cranium like the mask of Jason.
It's sad to say procrastination got him vaccinated. Masturbate the missile, fully genital ejaculation. Ratchet blazing, levitate the hairs on the back of Satan. Sober while I'm rolling with this blow, I just accidentally.
Bastard faking, bought the coffee cup from that was fabricated. Faggots paying me every cent they owe me, ain't no tax evasion. Drop his lower body in the Atlantic, what I was advocating. Lacerations covered his upper half, found in the Appalachian.
Barter with spirits for bands, a barber with scissors for hands. I'm harder but simple with a much larger pineal gland. Numb trigger, come get a slice of bicentennial man. Trespass, blast the muzzle flash, him defending his land.
Hit him 20 times through his back, make him spin like a fan. Promise to slide our shit, bitch, the body count big as Japan. Automatic action, break him off without kicking the can. Take him from who feed him, cut him off, now he's missing a hand.
Look, first I power off the government phone. Mount a tripod, cock it back, then hover the drones. Tenderize him with the crock pot, smother his bones. Fluently, these eulogies will cause a mother to moan.
At the telly, smoking bubblegum cones. No cuts on the cuff, the cabin keep a couple of clones. I try to put my city on, but the love wasn't shown. The gun got a scope with a laser that'll cut through a stone.
A popular ism with scholars at the top of the prism who pay homage.
I feel like, I mean, they some rapping ass niggas, but what does this guy do with coronavirus?
Okay, I was about to ask too.
It's just like two niggas that wanted to rap real good, and then they was like, we should name the song coronavirus. Like, I'm trying, it's only like a minute left, but I'm trying to find the coronavirus in it.
They just wanted to rap,
but they use a couple buzzwords that could have something loosely to do with coronavirus.
This is not actually a coronavirus.
Yeah, problem. Hit them with 12 in the back, make them spin like an infection is not necessarily the same thing as rapping about coronavirus.
Nobody coughing, you know, talking about the disease.
They play like a news clip at the very beginning that sound like, you know, coronavirus cases in the Bay Area. I'm like, oh, okay, so they about to spit, but I don't know. I feel like they just rapping.
When everybody forgot what was given. Drowsy, all this death around me, I forgot I was living. I seek redemption for some niggas, I forgot was forgiven.
A secret society, politician, blocked from your vision. The Glock is a bitch and she like to get on top when she kiss him. They caught him choking down his dinner, made him cough up his chicken. The virus was given.
Yeah, I feel like this is stretching it on the coronavirus tip.
Yeah, this is not a coronavirus.
They already had these bars about some other shit, and then they just was like, let's name it coronavirus too. Anyway, coronavirus news, y'all. Let's see what's going on. Should I expect my childless colleagues to work more during the pandemic?
No. No, I'm not.
All right. Well, there you go.
Them your kids.
You wrote all that shit for nothing, Vice.com.
Yes, you did. Them your kids.
Gentlemen's clubs stripped of business during the pandemic are entitled to relief, says the judge. U.S. District Judge Matthew Leitman, he said all jobs are jobs, okay? Strip club workers and owners losing their shirts in this coronavirus pandemic cannot be barred from emergency federal loans and grants, a federal judge ruled on Monday.
Right, they were providing a service.
They are business.
Right, people bring their asses in there, don't they?
Yeah.
The men's club, gentlemen club, the baby doll, places, whatever you want to call them, if people coming in there, yes, their business.
Yeah, I wonder, like, what was happening that they had to go to trial for this?
Because it's quote unquote, I don't know if people think that stuff is quote unquote sex work, or you know how puritanical people can get about shit like that. And it was like, we don't want to cover that. So yeah. It was like, fuck that, we're a business.
I saw, like, they even had strip clubs that were, like, doing takeout food orders and stuff, and you can go, like, pick up some food, and there's strippers outside on poles with masks on, social distancing, you know, waving at people and shit. I was like, all right then, you know, don't stop.
No, it don't. You gotta be creative. And, you know, I've never been to one, but everybody clear the wings be banging.
Demon time. So yeah, I guess the Small Business Administration was saying they shouldn't be able to get it because it's, they wanted to exclude those type of businesses, but the judge said you cannot exclude legal businesses deemed to be of a prurient sexual nature.
Right. Like I said, that's the thing. They just didn't want to cover it.
Yeah. Americans are such weird, puritanical hypocrites, because it's like, the strip clubs don't stay in business themselves. Niggas frequent that shit.
Yes, they do.
You know? And then we just all act better than that shit on Sunday morning at church. But then Saturday night, you be up in there with the demons. Don't lie. Like, you've been to a strip club or two in your time, for most people. For most people.
Yeah, no.
But you're not anti-strip club, so.
No, I'm not anti-strip club. Right. Shake what your mama gave you.
Yeah, I've only been a couple times. I'm not really, it's not my scene. But like at the same time, I don't knock anybody if it is.
Mm-mm.
My boy used to go all the time, which is how I ended up going. This nigga would go. He was like the guy at the strip club. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Well, they know his name.
Yeah. Like I walk up in there and it's like, I don't want to say I think I said his name on the show before, but it's like, Pat, and it's like the strippers know him.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, hey, one time we was in there, he was like, man, we're gonna try to help this stripper move on Saturday. I was like, I wouldn't help you move. Why the fuck would I help?
Come on,
this woman I don't know. I'm already putting her through college, okay, with these wing sales. Ohio
with just $10 water.
Ohio to stop cutting off benefits for non-working employees after hacker spams unemployment website. Ohio has reconsidered its choice to stop paying unemployment benefits.
I wonder why.
They've reconsidered its choice to stop paying unemployment benefits to people who refuse to go back to work after a hacker spammed its website page that tracked non-working employees. According to Vice, the state set up a website that encouraged employers to report fraud employees who refuse to return to work, catching the attention of employees and labor rights advocates. Yeah, people ain't got jobs. They don't want to go back to these fucking, you gonna definitely get COVID type jobs.
Right, and fucking die and get sick.
So it's like, give me unemployment till we get some type of fucking vaccination or proper testing.
They don't want to pay.
I don't want to do this shit. And they're like, nah, we got to cut you off from that.
So somebody hacked them.
Apparently. Mm-hmm. It peeved off some employers as well.
Right.
Because the employers don't want to have to go back to work either with some of this stuff. So, and then of course now those employers are having their information leaked. Essentially, this has peeved off some employers who have been contacting Ohio's Department of Job and Family Services to report employees who refuse to work in an attempt to have their benefits cut off. Ohio created a submission form or script that encouraged employers to report employees who refuse to work. The script started circling around social media earlier this week. The script automatically fills out a fraud reporting form on Ohio's unemployment insurance website. But
what?
Apparently someone was tired of Ohio's antics and decided to play vigilante and save people from having their benefits denied. According to Vice, an anonymous hacker released a code that let anyone automatically submit spam data to Ohio's form. The hacker's goal was to flood the site with so many fraud submissions that it made it more difficult for claims to be processed and ultimately blocked the state from halting people's benefits. Wow. This is some like, what's my show? Mr. Robot shit. Like, this is some,
like,
some
I'm
Elliot.
I'm tired of y'all shit.
Yeah, this is Elliot. Like, was this motherfucker wearing a hoodie and talking to himself in third person? Like,
I don't know, but it's fucked up. It's fucked up. I don't want to die. No, I'm not going back. I should not lose my benefits because I opt not to go back to work.
Here's the part that tells you it's all bullshit, though. Now the state is rolling back its plan to cut off benefits to four employees who refuse to work. So you could have done this.
Right.
It was just as easy to keep the party going and click that button and just be like, right, we understand. Motherfuckers ain't trying to die. Plus, mm-mm. As a state, I know Ohio has a Republican governor, but he's one of the ones who was really saying, like, you know, a lot of the shit, like, listening to the scientists on the stuff. So you're saying that you don't want these people at work because you know these motherfuckers will help this disease spread by the nature of having to be at work. And at the same time, you're going to penalize them by saying, we're not paying for unemployment. You need to get your ass back to work. Well, then how the fuck are you going to beat the disease? It can only be beaten by people not doing stupid shit like hanging out and going to work or being in high traffic areas for very long, you know? So, yep. Mm-mm-mm.
Because the thing is, you want the quote-unquote, I keep saying this, you want the economy to open back up, but the economy can't open up back up and people are dead.
And we have record unemployment.
Right.
Like, 33 million people filed for unemployment. You're not going to be able to get your state out of this by just being like, we ain't paying. Nope. Like, it also, like, you not paying the unemployment, if those people still go, I'd rather live than go to die at a job, it doesn't make the economy better.
Mm-mm.
They're just not getting unemployment benefits while also still being unemployed.
Right, and that's the thing. What you're doing actually does not benefit the economy. You actually don't give a fuck about the economy. You just don't care.
Shout out to hackers, though.
Come on.
Appreciate you. Majority disapprove of coronavirus protests. Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, it's a small percentage, a real small percentage of people just doing this. Most people are like, stay your ass at home.
The main thing they try to say about coronavirus is that kids, a lot of people's defenses, it's just old people, kids can't get it. Mm-hmm. Well, now it looks like the lives of three young children have died from an illness tied to coronavirus, and 73 have been sickened in New York.
Yeah, I don't know if we got the same article, but I was reading articles about it. They were saying that children were breaking out in rashes, children were having like blood clots and their hearts were skipping and shit. They said this shit was messing them kids up.
Yeah, they said the alarming phenomenon, which was first publicly identified last week, is a toxic shock like inflammation that affects the skin, eyes, blood vessels, and heart. The syndrome can leave children critically sick, even requiring mechanical ventilation in some cases. Some of the associated symptoms resemble a rare childhood illness called Kawasaki disease, which also leads to inflammation of the blood vessels, especially the coronary arteries, according to the publication. The mysterious syndrome is not exclusive to New York. A small number of cases have also been reported in Louisiana, Mississippi, and California. At least 50 cases have been reported in European countries, including Britain, France, Switzerland, Spain, and Italy.
And this is why you need to track it. And this is one thing where people, when it don't affect kids, okay, you see it is affecting children. You actually need to track, but y'all want to open up school systems and send children back to school because fuck it, it don't affect them, word.
Right. This is crazy, man. I'll tell you, every day we find some new shit out about this disease. It's just like, wait, what?
I mean, because my thing is, I don't know why, but I kept thinking eventually, because things change and information about the disease change and it's a constantly rotation of new information, you don't know what can happen. At first, everybody's like, oh, it's affecting the old people. Okay, now it's affecting, you know, a younger people. Okay, now it's affecting children. I've always been like, well, it could get, my assumption was that anybody could get it. I've always came from the platform that anybody could get it. But hey, you know,
but anybody can get it. That's always been true. It's right. Just that some people are asymptomatic and some people have symptoms that are varying. So you may get a lot of stuff, but not the lung part of it. You may get not a severe case of it. You know, you may not get any symptoms at all. You may not get the fever, but have other stuff. You may get the fever. Like, it's a bunch of stuff we don't know. And you know, we're not have we're, everyone's processing data on the fly,
right,
in addition to treating the disease. So all the people that think they have it figured out, you know, because, you know, some dude that tells them not to drink alkaline on Twitter says that, like, you, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And we have to deal with the fucking scourge of these idiots who are really walking around like anti-fact, anti-science, because that's what they've been trained to be after years and years and years of Republican brainwashing.
Right. And it's one of the things where, you know, if you go back in your history, you will find out shit like this, you know, has happened in the past, you know, and it's amazing, when you, go back and you look at, governments and city councils that ignored, you know, breakout diseases, you know, hundreds of years ago, and it came through and just killed hundreds of thousands of people. Then people's like, oh shit, it kills you. Now let's listen to the scientists.
And yes, hotel brainwashing too. That's why I said your cousin that don't drink alkaline. Nostalgia. Karen, you know what? I bet I know what you miss about the most about this whole lockdown, coronavirus, quarantine thing.
What?
Airline food. Well, don't worry, Karen. Now you can get it delivered to your door.
What?
Good old airline food. Our fave. Okay. You can get some of that, JetBlue Airways snack packs.
Mm-hmm. Some roasted peanuts and a can of Coke. What's happening here?
They're available to Imperfect Foods customers, the grocery delivery service that sells ugly produce for cheaper than store prices. Subscribers longing for the times when they could jet off without fearing of contracting COVID-19 can opt now for the in-flight experience. Mixed cheeses, crackers, and dried cherries from the Long Island. You know what this is? Nobody's traveling. They got excess stock of food.
Come on.
And now they're just trying to give it away.
Yeah, they just trying to get rid of the shit before it spoils.
This is like a yard sale, but with airline food.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, y'all want some pretzels? No.
Mm-mm. We
eat,
good.
You know why people eat food on the airline? Because there's not better food available.
Come on! You got a monopoly. I'm on the plane.
If motherfucker could Uber fly out some food into the middle of a flight, they'd do that. You know what I mean? This is what's in the plane is what's there to eat.
That's the only option.
So that's I'll take a ginger ale and some motherfucking cookies. I mean, it is
some pretzels, right?
Mm-mm-mm. Let's see. Wisconsin Supreme Court strikes down Tony Evers' stay-at-home order that closed businesses, schools, and limited the spread of coronavirus. Yeah, might want to strike that one down. Sounds like it's a little too safe. Wisconsin Supreme Court has struck down Governor Tony Evers' order. Marking the first time a statewide order of its kind has been knocked down by a court of last resort. The state's highest court, which is controlled by conservatives, sided with Republican lawmakers Wednesday in a decision that curbed Evers' administration power to act unilaterally during a public health emergency. This is one of the scary things about all these states where a Republican loses to a Democrat. They then try to strip all the powers of the governors, mm-hmm, and senators and stuff.
Yes, they do. They did it in North Carolina.
Yeah, and then the courts basically decide, and you just have to hope that you don't already have, they haven't already appointed or have a very conservative court, because a very conservative court is just going to politically side with conservatives. It doesn't matter what the greater good is for the society. It doesn't matter about the power. They just want to strip the powers of any Democrat. The 4-3 decision was written by four of the court's conservatives, Chief Justice Patience Rogensack, and Justices Rebecca Bradley, Daniel Kelly, and Annette Ziegler. The court's fifth conservative, Brian Hagedorn, wrote a dissent, joined by the court's two liberals, Ann Walsh Bradley and Rebecca Dallet. The Bradleys are not related, okay? The ruling for now throws out the administration's tool to control the disease, for which there is no vaccine, and comes at a time when Evers has already begun lifting some restrictions as the spread of the virus slows down for now. It will force Democratic governor and Republican-controlled legislator to work together on the state's response to the ebbs and flows of the outbreak, a dynamic the two sides have rarely been able to achieve before.
My thing is this. It's very frustrating because, okay, you do shit like this. Then your numbers, your COVID numbers jump.
Mm-hmm.
And then you turn around and the person that's in charge, you're going to fault that person. And the general public too, because a lot of people are stupid. They don't know how government works. You look at the person that was actually advocating for your behalf and telling them, why didn't you do anything? And it was like, well, I got voted down and, you know, the court turned me down and stripped me of my powers. Nobody wants to hear that when their family member has died, even though you're actually part of the problem and you may have even contributed to your family member or your loved one dying because of your stupidity.
No, this is America, man. This is America in a microcosm. The idea of someone trying to save you from your worst self and us being like, let us be our worst self. It's like, you are going to die. Let us die. We want to, as long as we get to say freedom, as we die from stupidity, we'll at least be free. Like, that's really what a lot of these dummies are saying. Is I would have never thought, honestly, when, at least when I was younger, I don't think I would have ever thought people could be this much of lemmings. I'm not talking about the stupidness or even the evilness of it, but the fact that y'all are going to rallies knowing you gonna be the one to die from that. That's crazy.
Yeah, and that's why,
you know, I know they think they not gonna die and stuff, but you know, it's like, you're willing to bet it all on either your superior genetics or that scientists are all fucking stupid. And when I say lemmings, I don't think these people had original ideas. I don't think these people were sitting in their house sans any input and just went, I don't think this shit is that serious. I think they have so much media telling them, conditioning them, brainwashing them for at least 20, 30 years at this point. At least, of course. I know people will go back further to print media, but I'm talking about like since the advent of Rush Limbaugh. Yeah,
Fox News, yes, sir.
Yeah, Fox News. I think like that is the biggest fucking that's the real epidemic in America. The epidemic of craven stupidity that has been fueled by right-wing propagandists disguised as media and disguised as news. And the fact that white people are so easily and readily to buy into that shit. Like,
they want
to believe those things.
I'm superior, yes.
The delusion is so strong, they can deny the world. Like, the world of facts that are in their face, they can deny it. I'm not gonna say it's worse than ever, none of that shit. You know, there was a time when white people could honestly look at black people as slaves and say, these are not people. You know, so that, to me, that is worse. But this shit right here is probably the worst it's been in my lifetime.
I just never,
if you would have told me 10 years ago that people would get, I've been like, even 10 years ago, I've been like, nah, there's gotta be a point where people would stop. You know, even a couple years ago, I would be like, nah, there's gotta be a point even where anyone would stop, because then you're saying your kid could die. Like, why would I let my kid die? I mean, if you told me only blacks died, then sure. But if there's like a 10% chance my kid's gonna die, I'm not gonna do it. And white people have proven me wrong. They're like, nope, I'll do it.
Yeah, and the thing is, for a lot of them, they feel like this just like they feel about their guns. You know, because a lot of them, you know, they own guns and things like that, and you know, their kid could shoot them or shoot another kid or shoot themselves, and you know, and in their mind, you know, it's justified.
Yeah. Yeah, at the Sandy Hook, man, I just have not been able to muster any level of hope for these people. Cause if you'll let your kids die so you can have a gun, then you really are a terrible person, and there's no redeeming you.
Right. You don't want to put no restrictions, no nothing. You're just like, fuck it. No, it's a problem.
A law firm worker was fired after posting a threat about face mask requirements. The Thompson and Knight law firm fired a Dallas-based administrative manager Friday after he allegedly posted a threat on social media against businesses with COVID-19 face mask requirements that had references to a handgun and hollow point bullets. I don't know why this is happening, because I mean I know why it's happening. They're white and no one's ever said no, but I don't know why the reaction is so, I'm gonna kill you, you know. And I know it's not just white people doing this, you know. There's been some black people that have killed people and fought people, and like, I don't get the thing about the mask that's so fucking threatening
and offensive, right?
I don't understand this shit.
What is it about it that makes you lose your, you think it's just an American thing? Like,
I don't know. Are the people that hoarded guns, I better not go to your house and find a cellar full of toilet paper. Like, your ass better be the least prepared for any of this. Cause your whole thing is, I'ma just do whatever fuck it. I'm going about life like normal. Fuck everybody. Fuck everybody and everything. You better have two rolls of toilet paper in your whole house. You know, I better not go to your house and you got some of the chicken that is, the plant is shutting down and we running out of chicken. You better not have none of the chicken. What kind of shit is that? But yeah, screenshots of the No More Mask rant began appearing on Twitter Friday with several users claiming it was authored by Kevin Bain. Bain has worked since 2009 at the law firm's document services manager. He put, "No more mask. Any business that tells me to put on a mask, Whole Foods or Lomo Alto in Dallas will get told to kiss my corona ass and will lose my business forever."
They think that little bit of money gonna mean something.
It's time to stop that bullshit. Do I have to show the lame security guards outside of a ghetto store my CV-19 test results? I will show them my Glock 21 shooting range results with Hornet at Hollow points. Pricey ammo, but worth it in this situation. They have reached the limit. I have more power than they do. They just don't know it yet. Okay, Tex. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to be doing all that shooting, you might want to wear a mask since you on some Red Dead Redemption shit.
And they be thinking that little bit of money going to mean something. Sir, we don't care about the $20 you was going to spend in here.
First of all, Karen, it's a lot more money than that. He said Whole Foods. So that's a whole check. But yeah, that's crazy, man.
Oh, my bad. Whole Foods, my bad.
Yeah, Whole Foods. If you would say Trader Joe's, okay. But, Whole Foods, I mean, they're gonna be missing a little bit of that guap. But, it's just crazy, man. Like, I don't get the violence. Anyway, he got fired. The law firm said they found out about it and fired him.
Guess you won't be going to Whole Foods no more buying no more expensive bullets because you can't afford them.
I just don't want to know what his post is after he got fired.
Oh, but it got worse then.
I know you're going to be saying some shit about his job.
You know it.
Get my last check. You going to check this gun.
There better be security.
I like how he was using all them puns and shit. COVID-19? No. Check my GAT Tech 21 score. How about that test? Check my shooting range test, huh? You want to see my antibodies? You gonna see lots of antibodies laying on the ground when I shoot up Whole Foods. he had bars.
Trying to rhyme.
He had some bars, didn't he? Good grief. Florida woman was arrested because she refused to leave Miami Beach.
What, she gonna sleep out there? What's happening?
She refused to leave, sat down with a sign that read, "We are free." They really think they are motherfucking activists, dog. They really think this is the modern day civil rights struggle.
They don't know what oppression is.
I can't wait for the books to come out from all these people.
Ooh, they're gonna be bestsellers too.
I mean, assuming they don't die of COVID-19, but I mean
are they kids gonna, somebody gonna write the book, somebody gonna make some money.
They are going to want their shit taught in history books and in all the schools. They are gonna want, "Where's my chapter?" Okay, I refuse to leave this beach, the modern day Rosa Parks. Okay,
I fought the man and I won.
I will not sit in the back of this beach.
I will not sit by the sand dunes.
Oh. She said the speech was for the public and she has a right to be there. You're not even having fun. Like, you know what would be great? If one of these stories is like, "Yeah, we arrested her because she wouldn't leave the beach." And did she have like a sign or something? No, she wasn't protesting. She was just drunk. And she was like, "I'm having too much fun at the beach. I'm not leaving."
That's understandable.
I'm not going to say I would be okay with it. No. But I'd be a lot more understanding because I'm like,
correct.
That woman is using the beach in the correct way that the beach is to be used.
Right.
Y'all niggas going out there to protest at the beach? That's a terrible day. Meanwhile, they They like, why are y'all protesting this black woman who got shot in her house, minding her fucking business, and was an EMT? Why y'all marching for that? You should be down at the beach with us getting COVID.
No, thank you.
We gotta have to start lying to white people. Yeah, they shot Brianna because she wouldn't wear a mask. What? Oh, okay. See, we didn't know that. Okay, fellas, get the guns and the MAGA hats. We're riding.
Like, let's go, Billy Bob. Let's go.
Like, what's it gonna take to get?
Come on, Jimbo.
What's it gonna take to get them to keep the same energy, y'all? Damn. Let's see. Hundreds dine in at a Castle Rock breakfast spot that opened despite the shutdown.
They can really have a spike in that city.
I swear, man. If I knew. Like, if I had a superpower and I knew I couldn't get COVID-19, like, my superpower, I was like Wolverine or something. The shit couldn't kill me, right? I would honestly get a body cam, a GoPro, and go in these restaurants, sit down in the middle, and just start coughing the whole time. Like, if I knew that, the reason I'm not gonna do it is because I don't want one of those horrible deaths that, like, we would make fun of on the show. You know what I mean? This nigga was coughing in public thinking it was a joke, and then he died from it. Like, I don't want to be that person. Mm-hmm. But if I knew I wouldn't be that person for sure, like 100% chance I could not die, I would be the person that's like, I'm gonna fuck these white people up. I'm gonna just go sit down in the middle of IHOP.
I bet you people start backing away from you.
They'll be like, oh, you gotta get out. No, man, freedom. They gonna be pointing them fucking AR-15s at me all of a sudden. I it'll be like my final joke and shit. I'll be like, I thought we was just all practicing freedom.
Right. Y'all gonna get sick anyway.
And like, the way I would do it, y'all, I would ham it up like in, what was that movie? With Christian Bale. It's a Christopher Nolan movie. And he was a magician or something.
Yes. Is it The Prestige?
Yes, The Prestige. Karen, good job.
I remember that. I love that movie.
I would be like the Asian dude in The Prestige. Like, I would come in there and be like, oh, moving all slow, sweating and coughing everywhere. And they'll be like, damn, this nigga about to die. And I'd be like, oh, let me get a Rudy. Oh, sorry. Takes a lot out of me to even sit up and talk. Hold on, just give me a second. Tootie, y'all got a new cold water. I got a fever. I need a wet rag. I don't care if you've been wiping tables with it. Just let me borrow the rag and then you can wipe tables afterwards. Let me get a rag and fresher fruity. Did I say fresh? Let me get that rooted tootie fresher. Oh God. Oh, my chest is burning. Okay, all right. Yeah, I'm gonna just bring it whenever you're ready. I'm just gonna lay here on the table for a while. Just, oh my God. Oh, you got some adorable kids, lady. I see your kids looking at me. I don't know why y'all backing up. Let me hug the kids. You know, like, just fucking go in there and prove these fucking people are really cowards.
Right.
And they not about this shit, man. That, like, this shit is all bullshit, man. They don't want this disease.
No, they don't.
It's fucking stupid, man. You should have to go to another hospital. That's right, y'all. I'm bringing back segregation. And I don't mean race segregation. I'm talking brain segregation. If your dumb ass is at these rallies, you do not get to take up a regular hospital room for people that was out trying to social distance and happened to catch it or made some type of mistake and caught it.
Forced to go to work.
Yeah, like you and a person that like works in the MTA should not get to go to the same hospital. You wanted to catch it. You don't believe in this. You should go to the hospital for people that don't believe in this. And the people that should work there should all be all the people that also don't believe in it.
Right.
So you can get all those fake ass nurses from the plandemic videos and the viral YouTube videos and Facebook shit. Get these motherfuckers and they gonna be the ones treating you. That's gonna be your doctor. Well, it's nothing but the flu. Meanwhile, you dying and shit. Like, the Tylenol not working. Listen, it's nothing but the flu. Drink plenty of fluids. Have some of this soup. And then, oh, you cough some blood into your soup. Finish this soup off, and then you'll be fine. Like, you don't get to go to a regular hospital. You have to go to, like, a Walking Dead level hospital. You know what I mean? Like, I want your hospital to be like, we have one bottle of peroxide and some cotton swabs. We don't know how we're going to fix this, but this is what's left in the Z-Pot. Like, how the fuck you getting top flight care? None of y'all better get cured. Like, it's the worst. It's crazy, man. Like, everybody's like, I don't want this tracking technology in my phone. Track the motherfuckers at the rallies, though. Track them motherfuckers. Track they ass and use it to deny them care. What they call me, like, Hippocratic Oath, man, you opted out of that shit. Fuck that. I can't believe this. Like, what? Only in America could you feel like you're owning the libs by eating some high calorie ass breakfast food. What? I need corned beef and hash, and I die for the right.
Right, they packed in that restaurant, and then in the next, the 2.5-3 weeks a month, ain't nobody gonna be in that bitch. They all be dead.
I will die for these fucking waffles. I give a goddamn. Not in America. Thomas Jefferson wouldn't stand for this shit.
Ooh, girl, these some killer grits. No. These actually really are some killer grits.
Paul Revere. Call me Paul Revere, okay? I'm the Paul Revere of toast. Toast breakfast sandwiches, okay? I'm gonna die for this shit. You don't put cheese in my grits, you put freedom, okay?
Ah! That's why my cheese on it, American!
I ain't no coward, okay? I go into Hooters and I'm dying for it, okay? I need to see titties and eat wings and drink very expensive beer, okay? That's the only way to prove these motherfuckers that I ain't no pussy, okay? I'm gonna make America great again, one plate at a time.
Apparently so.
Give me them hash browns, idiots. Utah computer engineering professor make a COVID-19 smartphone sensor. Yeah, put it in all the people with the rallies. I'm good with it. But what it does is it gives you a test that you can take, and by, I think, breathing on it, and electronically it could tell you if you got COVID-19 antibodies in you. They used it for the Zika virus originally, and they can just program the Zika virus sensor to identify COVID-19 instead. The prototype is going to be about the size of a quarter, and it will be communicating with a cell phone using Bluetooth. Also, you're supposed to be able to, whether you breathe, sneeze, or blow on a sensor, it can tell if you have COVID-19, and then you can actually reuse the same test because it's going to have an electric signal that it shoots through the thing, mm-hmm. that basically destroys the virus so that another person could use it as well and not get the same results, you know, that kind of shit. Who knows when or if this shit will happen. It's all theory right now. It's called the Healthy Together app, developed for the state of Utah, and we'll see what happens. But I just thought that was a cool idea. There's a lot of innovation happening now.
Mm-hmm. And it's going back to stupidity. It's going to be interesting how people kind of respond to things like that, because if I got it and you don't, you know, human beings are the X factor, and human beings are stupid. So people come like, you got it, get out of my house, you got it, and start attacking you, like, because that's the dumb shit that people do.
A Pennsylvania man plows his SUV through a crowd of first responders at salute to nurses parade amid pandemic.
Oh.
Now, luckily, I don't think he actually hit it. None of the participants in the salute were reported to be injured.
I'm glad.
But after running the red light, the man led police on a chase. He also was armed and threatening people. He was taken into custody. They have not released his name. Why not?
Come on, why not?
Yeah. I don't know. That's weird not to release his name. It must have been a cop. All right, last one. The porn industry could help reopen America amid coronavirus pandemic. And the reason I bring this up is because the porn industry has widespread testing and contact tracing as, like, one of the biggest tools of stopping the STI transmission for scenes.
Yeah, because I know Sarah J's been on the show, and so one thing about the porn industry, people that are like professional porn stars, they are actually more healthier and cleaner than the general population, gen pop, because they constantly are getting tested, they constantly are getting screens, like they're constantly going through this. Most people, you just have to depend on them to care about themselves and love themselves enough to fucking go get a test or either take their word. Most people don't properly take care of themselves. That's why you have so many sexual transmitted diseases just spreading like crazy, because a lot of people are like, just fuck it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because you would need obviously a lot of testing to be able to do it, but the idea of hopping on it before it can spread to other people and checking all the clusters and stuff, that's definitely like a thing that porn has done before. I remember when they had like the HIV scare of like, I don't know, maybe it's 2010 at this point, something like that. And I think Darren James got it, and then I forget the white porn star, but they were able to go back to the scene where he got it. Like, they were able to trace it all the way back to, like, he did a film in Canada with this girl, and they, like, boom, 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 and then these are the scenes he filmed after that. Here's the people, here's other people, let's test all of them. Okay, everyone can't work for X amount of days.
Right,
we'll be testing you again at the end of those days, see if you developed anything. Mm-hmm. Like, they were able to do all that shit. They shut the whole industry down, and was like, it's like that never fucking happened. Like, that's how fast, like, that's how, like, something like that, I was like, man, is this the end of the industry? And it's like, nope, give it a month, everybody's back to work, you know? So.
Yeah, cause we don't want to spread the disease among our actors. Yeah, we understand it's quote unquote fantasy, but these are real people.
Yep. So, and most porn shoots right now are currently shut down, obviously, for coronavirus, and a lot of them filming California anyway. I don't know what Florida's like though. They don't got no rules down there. They probably just filming in mask or some shit.
Yeah. That's probably a whole genre now.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck. Coronavirus porn. They don't give a fuck. All right, that's enough coronavirus news. Let's get into some other bummer ass news. That's right, y'all. It's still sad shit happening. There's been a little bit more developments in the Ahmaud Arbery stuff. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna move all this to fucking with black people.
Okay.
That's probably fair, because that's what I normally do with this stuff.
Okay.
And it's like three quick updates, so we'll cover those there. Yeah, I don't know why that got over there. That seems like a no-brainer. Tamron Hall is going to host a virtual anti-domestic violence benefit on Wednesday.
Wonderful.
Which I believe is tonight. Former Glamour editor-in-chief Cindy Leave announced a night of solidarity on Monday, a virtual anti-domestic violence benefit. The event will be hosted by Tamron Hall with appearances by Ashley Nicole Black, Shan Bodron, Connie Britton, Mahogany L. Brown, Ilana Glazer, Padma Lakshmi, Ada Lemon, M-I-L-C-K, Milk, Chanel Miller, Julianne Moore, man, it got everybody, Amanda Gwen, Charmaine Obiai Chinoy, Kiki Palmer, Gina Rosero, Peter Sarsgaard, Taylor Schilling, Rachel. Okay, so everyone's gonna be there. Gabrielle Union. The benefit was created to support survivors of domestic violence, provide guidance to people who are currently in abuse situations, and raise funds for prevention organizations through Together for Her campaign.
Yeah, because statistics has gone up.
Yeah, she was personally impacted by domestic violence when her sister Renate was found beaten and floating face down in a pool in Houston in 2004. In the wake of her sister's murder, Hall became an advocate for those experiencing domestic violence and created the Tamron Hart Renate Fund. Man, that's crazy. You and I've never heard about that before.
Mm-mm.
Wow. But yeah, good for her, man. I think, like I said, there's good things coming out of this too. Cause like, people also finding ways to like, give to causes and you don't have to leave your house. And celebrities and stuff are finding ways to do some of the stuff that they did before with, you know, and host events and Instagram lives and shit.
Yeah, and, I don't know, regardless of how you feel about him, like, I don't have a problem with him, but Guy Fieri, the chef, he is like been going around raising money like crazy for like all his employees and other people that have been laid off in the the food service industry. He's raised a lot of money.
Yeah. Why Murder Hornet is a terrible name. Mm-hmm. We're gonna talk about it. Coming up after the break. All right, we're back. The term the hornet skyrocketed into popularity last week after the New York Times published a viral story about the arrival of an invasive insect species in Washington State. Murder Hornet is in the headline. Mashable, like many other outlets, use the term too, but entomologists say that's an irresponsible name for the species, Vespa matarinia. Instead, even if it's the largest hornet in the world at some 2 inches in length, it's a ridiculous name, said Akito Kawahara, an entomologist at the Florida Museum of Natural History, who researches evolution and diversity of insects. I think it's totally misleading. Insects already have a bad perception, he added. The word murder conjures notions of something that presents a terrible danger or threat to people, but the arrival of the giant hornets, commonly called Asian giant hornets, in Washington State is nothing approaching a calamitous universal human scourge like, say, a viral pandemic with no vaccine or treatments. The insects are not even commonly called murder hornets in Japan, where they're native. No one calls them murder hornets, explained Kawahara. People there often call them large hornet or a giant hornet. These bugs aren't looking to attack people, though you wouldn't want to rustle a hornet's nest, duh. And there were only 2 confirmed reports of the hornets in Washington in 2019. However, if it turns out the invasive species has established many colonies in the region, the hornets could pose a threat to Western honeybees as they decimate beehives, beheading most of the bees inside. Don't freak out, cautioned Kawahara, noting it's unknown how many hornet colonies there are in the U.S. Lots of things come to the country and they aren't able to survive. Just be aware. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, man, they are really, really doing their best to turn people's racism against these hornets. That's why I was calling them Asian murder hornets, the same way they try to call it the China virus.
No, I just call them murder hornets. I don't know what.
And how many people fell for it? Right.
Hashtag all honeybee lives matter.
Here you go.
Because that's who they murdering the bees.
All insect.
The honeybees.
All insect lives matter outside of this.
You
house.
Walk up in my house decapitating everybody. You a murderer. You a murderer.
You part of the problem.
I know.
Mm-mm-mm. It's sad to be doing a show with a bigot.
And then you sting me, possibility that I might die too?
It's sad. They're not really killing people. That's the problem.
You killing the bees, though the bee lives don't
all
matter.
All kinds of shit kills bees and stuff. You know who kills bees? People.
Yeah, they do.
A lot of them. We kill bees all the time. Stuff like planting male plants more than female plants and shit. Like, this is what we deserve. This is America. We deserve to be murdered by the hornets, but that's not even what they here for. If they was murdering people, I probably wouldn't even, I'd be like, good, go your ass back in the house and social distance.
Come on.
I hope you walk outside your door and a fucking Asian hornet is just, a big hornet just sitting there by the door like, what you doing? You know you're supposed to be your ass inside, and and you close the door like, I'm sorry. We lost a bunch of people this weekend.
Yes, we did.
I'm not gonna give long eulogies and stuff, man. I know it's a bummer, you know, and who knows how much of it is COVID-19 stuff and how much is it, because it seems like there's a lot of stigma around COVID-19, so then people don't want to like tell people that it's COVID-19, right. But then there's also like people die all the time, and since it's older people, they could die of anything.
Yeah, natural causes, yeah.
So we don't know, and it's, you know, you want to respect people's privacy, and people kind of only care because these people are famous, mm-hmm. you know, to a certain extent. But I know Roy from Siegfried and Roy died mm-hmm. from the COVID. Ben Stiller's dad, Jerry Stiller, comedian and actor, really big, had like a second life on Seinfeld
as they got older.
Yeah, he passed. So that was sad. Then we had Betty Wright died, Andre Harrell and Little Richard. Mm-hmm. And once again, no, I don't know the cause. I've heard rumors of causes. I don't know anything that's been confirmed.
Yeah, and all like days, like almost like back to back, and sometimes two in a day. Like it's just all over the place.
Yeah, man. So who knows? The double rainbow dude died at 57 years old. Y'all remember that video? Double rainbow, like it was really big. He died. I know he thought he had COVID-19 and was he had gone to get tested for COVID-19 and was awaiting the result or something, and he died. So yeah, it's just sad shit, man. Like I just thought I'd rip the band-aid off and just go ahead and say, like, all those people passed, you know, rest in peace. All right, let's see what else. Another person has got some sad news. Future. DNA test proves that Future is the father of Eliza Rain's 1-year-old daughter.
That's what that woman been saying the whole time.
Her story never changed. Mm-mm. And he was out here saying it ain't his, so I guess she gonna get 1/19th of that paternity check or whatever mm-hmm. it's up to now. Okay. He assaulted a gag order against the model after he revealed to the courts that she was publicly tarnishing his name by discussing their past relations. She's seeking a $53,000 a month child support check from Future based on his current income. But now the battle has reached new heights as the DNA results have confirmed that Future is the daddy.
You are the father.
Mm-hmm. He admitted they had a romantic relationship for 2 years, but that was it. But that ain't his kid. Like, Future, what are the odds of any kid not being your kid?
Yeah, you got that strong sperm.
I'm not talking the women you slept with. I'm talking about any kid on the street. Pick a random kid, see how much of Future DNA up in there. It's gotta be at least some. A lot of us is probably, you know, walk around little Future babies all over the place.
Just don't know it.
The rapper has released a few tweets since the news broke of him being the new father again, as Rain shared photos of her daughter, who has already been given Future's name. And he tweeted, "Teach these hoes how to keep their business off the internet. You run to the internet," he added.
Sir.
Here's what I be thinking, man. What? I mean, well, obviously the number one thing I'm thinking, and sorry, I guess I'm not that fucking woke, but being Future's 13th baby mama seems like a very weird fucking thing to want to be. Sorry. Like, I'm not that fucking progressive. I am actually blaming the victim at this point. You know he treats women like shit when they get pregnant by him. I can't imagine you saw 13 other women go through fucking drag through hell and then was like, I'm shocked. I can't believe Future would treat me so bad. I thought we was in love. I just want to be the mother of his child. Like, there's no fucking way. I'm not buying it. At some point, it's just you. Like, you made a business plan to make that move.
It was your choice.
I'm not knocking your business plan if that's what the fuck you want to do.
Not knocking the hustle.
But I definitely am not sympathizing for this nigga dragging you the way he done drug every woman before this. You knew he was a piece of shit. What the fuck? It's like if I see somebody dating George Zimmerman, it's like, you know he domestic violent. I'm like, hey, this is George Zimmerman. Like, what? Anyway, the second thing I'm thinking though is how much of a check is left. I know he got money, but he got money, like, it, you know, like at this point, like what are you getting? Like it's gonna be like the compensation from a regular job at this point, right? Like you could just, I mean, I guess it's better than having a job. I don't know, because then you got this kid you gotta pay for. I don't know what are the rules on this.
I don't know
how much is left. That's what I keep thinking. Like,
who knows?
You know, because you know you ain't getting $53,000 a month. The judge gonna have to whittle that shit down. Like, hold up now, hold up. So that, you know, that's crazy. And then the third thing I'm thinking is, when he shouts his baby mamas out for Mother's Day or his kid's birthday or some shit, he tweets out or puts something on Instagram. Yo, what the fuck? do they just act like you didn't have these original moments of I threatened to kill your mama,
don't matter,
posted that you ain't my kid, keep my business out the streets, keep my name out your mouth, put a gag order on your mama,
don't matter, just you a man, so the bare minimum is enough.
I'm just trying to imagine being that kid.
Yeah,
like fucking 10 years from now, it's like, because now everything on the internet is forever.
Yes it is.
10 years from now, it's gotta be some kids like, yo daddy is Future and he tweeted out to yo mama, hoes always on the internet, keep my name out your mouth, like happy birthday, you know what I mean? Like, does this nigga show up to my birthday party? What is the point?
No, I don't think he does.
Like, you don't want to be here, I don't want you here. Like, that's crazy, man. Like, the fact that he still has a contingent of people, that tells you everything there is about staying internet culture. The fact that there's a contingent of people that continually defend and go up for this dude is crazy. Like, people, like, men always quick to call women emotional or talk about Beyonce stans and shit. Any man that lionizes this type of behavior, dog, something is broken inside of you.
Yes, sir.
Jesus. A professor got fired after TikTok porno bookmark goes viral.
Oh, shit.
University of Miami professor John Ping Zhang was fired this month after accidentally sharing with students his X-rated penchant for busty college girls.
Duh.
Mm-mm-mm. Looked like he was watching somebody get served a gag order himself.
Yes.
The lewd gaffe was discovered by administrators after students shared videos and images on social media of a Zoom screen share during class with the business analytics instructor whose browser clearly displayed a bookmark for pornographic content related to physically endowed co-eds. A student called attention to the bookmark during class, according to the University of Miami Hurricane student newspaper, causing the classmates to take notice. However, Zhang allegedly continued with his lesson as if it didn't happen. I know his heart was pounding. Why he had to pretend like that shit wasn't no big deal?
He couldn't have clicked over there and kept it trucking.
I know his shit was like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Hey, is that porn on your list? The coefficient of sign.
Yeah.
within a few hours, 8 seconds of video evidence which zoomed in on Zhang's browser as he carried on with his lecture had gone viral on TikTok with 800,000 views.
Good God.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know what browser he was in, but I mean, you gotta find a way to close it surreptitiously. You gotta close it.
It had just disappeared.
You gotta close that shit.
Open up a brand new browser.
Without nobody seeing, oh, my whole computer just put in the trash. My bad, y'all.
Got disconnected.
Oops, I accidentally threw my computer in the sink. I guess I'll have to wait till tomorrow's lesson. Yeah, so the clip, which has since been deleted, also clearly showed the miami.edu URL in the browser, officially connecting the video with the institution. By the next day, the screenshots of TikTok had made its rounds on Instagram, as well as college-centric media outlets, Fifth Year, Barstool, and more. And so he got in trouble. He taught a few more sessions before ceasing to show up for class, leaving students without an instructor for about 20 minutes before they received an email from business analytics department that class was canceled. That's crazy. It's kind of like sad because I mean, like, what he did is not illegal. I think everyone watches porn. But it's almost like the irony of it being busty college girl and him being a college professor is probably just too much for them to handle. You gotta go.
That's too much. And you're actually teaching the class. I mean, we don't care what you do when you're not teaching, but you're actually teaching the class.
Like, that might be your work fantasy or whatever, but you can't be getting caught with the work fantasy like that. I understand. It sucks, but I understand.
Me too.
It's like if you work as like a gas station attendant, like, you can't get caught with, you know, gas station sex porn, because it's like, nigga, what are you gonna do? You know, are you gonna be at work one day, we're gonna look over there, you're gonna be pumping on pump five and shit? Like,
no thank you.
We can't let it slide. We gotta get you up out of here just in case, because now everybody's gonna say, well, motherfucker, you should have known. Like,
the one day you do decide, the day is the day.
Like, sometimes you have to get rid of a motherfucker because just because everybody else gonna make you look stupid when you let it happen. Like, yeah, and then we looked up one day and he was having sex by the gas station pump. I guess we should have known when one of the tabs on his browser said, I'm gonna definitely be having sex at a gas station pump. We should have known. So that sucks for him. I'm sure he'll find another job somewhere. Oh, yeah. You know, it means he's a bad professor or something. Mm-mm. Just let the heat die down and go somewhere else.
Oh, he's white. He'll be fine.
No, he's Asian.
Oh, he's Asian? Mm-hmm. Well, he'll still be fine.
Okay. All right. Let's get into our other segments.
Just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game that goes all around the globe. Find different articles, make us feel fucking with the wheel side point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right, let's see who was fucking with us. But this is all like Amar Arbery stuff, so I'm just gonna. It's like all the same. So, first of all, the resident that reported Ahmaud Arbery to police said he did it because he was wearing saggy clothes. You don't go jogging in wearing saggy pants. All right. Also, someone left a mysterious note at the Arbery shooting site. And it's not what you think. Like, it's not some type of racial harassment thing. The note is, Ahmaud, I am so sorry. I should have stopped them. I am so sorry. So now people want to know, like, who is this from? Why? Where? You know, like, is this someone that knew those two dudes, the father and son? Because other thing that came out was that they allegedly had an altercation with a black man 2 weeks before that, at that same construction site. And they, you know, they think it was Ahmaud Arbery, but who knows? But according to them, he reached in his waistband and then the son ran off thinking like, oh, this person got a gun. So to me, what this means is now I'm thinking, is it premeditated? Not that it wasn't premeditated before.
Right.
I guess premeditated or whatever, but like, this sounds like you were waiting to ambush this dude.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they according to the neighbor Diego Perez says the two men had already approached their victim February 11th. After spotting him at the same construction site, Arbery is thought to have looked around on the day of his death. Perez told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution Travis saw him in the yard and Travis stopped. He confronted the man halfway into the yard. He said the man reached for his waistband and Travis got spooked and went down the road. Travis is said to have returned with his father, who was armed and who had called the local police. Perez said he witnessed the February 11th incident after the property owner, Larry English, who lived 2 hours away, asked him to keep an eye on the site. After a motion sensor camera had been set off, Perez headed to the construction area where he saw the McMichaels and the man he believes to be Arbery. Perez said nothing was taken from the home, adding, all we knew about him was that he was a guy who kept showing up on our cameras. No one knew who it was. Yo, I know you love it, but this is what I be thinking about with that ring shit. Like, people be posting videos on that neighbor part and I'm like, that's not even a crime or nothing wrong. Like, that's just a black person minding their business and they be like, guys, something suspicious happened. A person came and they left something on my porch. Okay, he had a black
t-shirt on.
I think he's in a gang, the Amazons. He has a black and white polo shirt on with some blue stripes.
That's the FedEx man.
And it says Amazon on it. Now, if you guys are out, be careful. Okay? Very suspicious. Like, someone posted a video of saying breaking and entering. I'm not joking. You can go on the app and look. It was two black women and they had a key to an apartment and just walked in.
How are you breaking and entering?
And he was like, and they back. And then the second time he said they was back, the first video was the person from the apartment complex letting them in. The second video was just them walking in. I was like, you live next to these people. Like, this is how shit happens. Like, hope you don't got a gun.
Come on.
You've been thinking they criminals for being black and living. And anyway, so I'm trying to think. There was one more development that I didn't say. 2 weeks before. Fuck. I forget the other thing. Oh, yeah. Footage of him going inside the house, the construction house site. Didn't take anything, looked around. People do that all the time. If it was anything against the law, you could argue trespassing, but literally, right. People literally do that shit all the time. Houses being built, stuff is constructed, people walk through those things. I'm sure it's illegal, right. On some level. I'm not saying it's completely
legal. Right.
The point is, even if he would have went in that motherfucker and stole all the planks, you can't just kill a man. Even if that was true. So like, they're trying to tarnish his name by being like, he might have been a thief. Even if he would have been a thief, you don't get to be judge, jury, and executioner because you own a gun.
No, you don't.
Because he punked you a couple weeks ago while acting like he had a gun. Like, they were hoping to kill that man and find a gun on him or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or scare him. They thought they were going to scare him, and when fight or flight kicked in and he fought, they had to kill him. Anyway, 0 to 100?
Oh, the whole thing, 100.
Family seeks, same. Family seeks answers in fatal police shooting of Breonna Taylor in her apartment. 26-year-old Louisville resident Breonna Taylor was shot 8 times in her apartment as local authorities executed a drug warrant on March 13th. In a lawsuit filed April 27th, her family is accusing Louisville law enforcement of wrongful death, excessive force, and gross negligence. A summary of the lawsuit states that on March 13th, Louisville police officers arrived at Breonna's apartment to execute a drug warrant, looking for a man that did not live at Breonna's apartment complex. 2 Louisville officers and 1 sergeant forced their way into her apartment without knocking and without announcing themselves. At which point, Breonna and her boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, believed someone was breaking into their home. Police fired more than 20 rounds inside the apartment. The lawsuit states, Kenneth, a registered gun owner, fired back, striking one of the officers in self-defense. No drugs were found in the home. Tamika Palmer, Breonna's mother, said she received a call from Kenneth alerting her of the home invasion and that he believed they shot Breonna. Once Tamika arrived at her daughter's apartment complex, she says officers at the scene gave her little to no information on the status of her daughter. She eventually realized that Breonna was dead. Louisville Police Department spokeswoman Jesse Halliday declined to comment on the case and said in a statement, there's an ongoing public integrity investigation into the case and therefore it would be inappropriate for us to comment at this time. But in an interview, Tamika said, not one person has talked to me. Not one person explained anything to me. I want justice for her. I want them to say her name. There's no reason Breonna should be dead at all. She was a certified EMT. You know, one of those heroes, first responders that we all look up to.
Come on.
Who had 2 jobs at hospitals in Louisville, according to the Courier Journal. The family says Taylor was kind, hardworking, and honest. Yeah. And no police officers going to jail. There's a integrity investigation into it, which I don't know what that fuck that even means, I guess.
Right.
Like, what are going to be the results? You know, these like a cop can, that was, like, that's the thing about the Ahmaud Arbery thing, because people are like, you know, we only do this for black men and stuff. I'm like, that's definitely true. Being a black man plays a huge part in which stories people will get behind and stuff. We've seen it over and over again. But, one of the things, like, but there's been stuff like Sandra Bland, it's trended, stuff like that on Twitter, which I don't necessarily know Twitter trends is the best way to calculate.
Right.
Anyway, what I was gonna say is this though. When cops murder somebody too, they definitely have like this, they have a little bit, a layer more of protection than the non-cop people.
Yes, they do.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy because, like, with a cop, they literally have a license to kill your ass.
Mm-hmm.
And they can, and like, let's say we never get video of this. Let's say that, like, this is all the information we get. There should be a penalty just for you going to the wrong house on a no-knock warrant and killing people.
Come on.
there should, even if it was not a race thing, even if it wasn't, even before we get to all that, there should be a penalty for that. How, imagine a job mistake you get to make and go back to work the next day and it's taking someone's life. What job let you do that? Like, it's crazy the authority we give these police over our lives, which is like, you can just do that shit, man. Like, we'll figure it out. I don't think, you know, unless they find some type of link to make this a conspiracy thing, I don't even think it's like that. I think they care so little about our lives that they really be like, yeah, we, bad day on the job. That was a Tuesday. You know, they had to file the suit like over a month later. It's insane, man. And she still don't know nothing. They still ain't talked to her. How the fuck you doing an investigation? You ain't informing the family. Yeah, we own it. We're investigating. Like, I just pictured them on the phone being like, yeah, we're investigating totally, but doing the jack off sound with the other hand. Like, yeah, we're gonna look into it, rolling their eyes. Like, what the fuck? So yeah, that, I mean, obviously we'll hopefully. I shouldn't say obviously, or hopefully we'll get more information about her as well, because
yeah, more information will come out.
That happened the same way Ahmaud Arbery shit happened in February. Like, this shit is old, you know, we just now hearing about it. It's crazy, man. Well, it's 100, right? Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was one thing that was wild was I saw somebody being like, if we not talking about Breonna Taylor, Breonna, and if she was a man and stuff, blah, blah, blah. And so I searched their name on Twitter to see if they was talking about it. They only had that one tweet about it. I was like, man, everybody is complicit in this shit, you know? I mean, I know it's also the sensationalistic way that he died and the video and stuff. I get that. But I don't know. We don't give black women the benefit of the doubt in those type of situations anyway. Because
we're always to blame for everything.
The undercurrent with Sandra Bland was she shouldn't have been talking shit to that police officer. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes talking about that.
Come on.
Man, I'm forgetting the sister that died in the house where she was, I think she may have been having a mental episode, but they shot her and yeah, I think they maybe hit grazed her son or something too, but. Mm-hmm. But even in that case, that's another one where it's just like, I remember people being like, yeah, but look at her, she was doing such and such and da da da. Ahmaud Arbery was fighting the men. Trayvon Martin fought George Zimmerman, you know, and I get that they're not police and stuff, but my point is, like, we wouldn't demonize them for that, for fighting back, I don't think, or at least not as heavily. It's like, you know, we expect the men to fight back and stuff. I mean, even Mike Brown, we don't demonize like that, you know?
Mm-mm.
I mean, maybe there's a certain crust of black people that look down on him, but, you know, most of us were like, nah, just because he's not an angel don't mean you can kill him.
I agree.
You know? So it's definitely a double standard, and I see it for sure. It's, you know, and I don't know that it'll ever change or what's going to really be done about it. I know people did march for her and stuff. If they march for Ahmaud too, it's, you know, it's just sad. That San Diego man who wore a KKK hood as protective mask will not be prosecuted.
Of course not.
It was not intended to be a racial statement, says the sheriff's department. It was just the best mask he had at the time, I guess.
The only one in the house.
Still ain't identified this man, by the way.
I guess coronavirus hit black Twitter CSI. Everybody work from home.
They interrogated the man who described his frustration with coronavirus and having people tell him what he can and cannot do. The suspect also told police wearing the hood used by the hate group was not intended to be a racial statement.
The fuck was it intended to be? It's a goddamn Ku Klux Klan hood.
Right. What other statement could it be making? The police officer's like, we get it. We wear a uniform every day. And it's not intended to be a racial statement either. Mm-mm. But it is.
This hood is peace and love.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man,
does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out!
here comes the Spider-Man.
Sorry, Kay, what were you saying? You got cut off.
I forgot.
Okay. Oh, my bad. I started playing it. It didn't play well later. But yeah. Yep. He said, in summary, he said it was a mask and it was stupid. Oh, well, he learned his lesson, guys. I mean, hey, it was stupid. Let's just all go home. Nothing to see here. Black people killed for wearing a hoodie. White man can wear a KKK hood and nobody got nothing to say.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, they said it was insufficient evidence to charge the man in the San Diego District Attorney's office. Anyway, 0 to 100.
Oh, that's 100.
Yeah, that's 100.
Mm-hmm.
Last one. Black conservatives denounce Candace Owens after her hateful comments about Ahmaud Arbery. Y'all have a line? Y'all was cool with her before now, and
apparently so.
This was where she went too far. How? Mm-hmm. I mean, was Michael Steele cool? Like we don't have a problem with her, and then he read her tweets about Ahmaud Arbery, and all of a sudden he was.
I want to call you one. Is it okay if I call him one?
I doubt that's hilarious though.
Yeah, apparently black conservatives are pissed. The same woman who sympathized with Adolf Hitler, and they were like, that's fine, not over the line. Ahmaud Arbery was caught on camera breaking into an unfinished property that was owned by Larry English. His mother has confirmed it is him in a video. Please stop saying just a jogger bullshit narrative. Avid joggers don't wear khaki shorts to stop to break into homes, said Candace Owens. Jonathan Throw, the former South Carolina director of Blexit, the failed movement started by Owens to encourage black people to leave the Democratic Party, reportedly said she would do anything to please white people, including criminalize a black man in death. Blexit could never get any traction going into the black community trying to speak with residents with the rhetoric and energy Candace Owens is currently exhibiting. Red State quoted Throw as saying, her facts she presents are only to paint black America negatively in the face of white supporters. She will blatantly ignore the facts that will equally cause white America to have to look in the mirror themselves on key issues. I decided to resign from Blexit to prevent being associated with someone who doesn't speak for black people but speaks against black people.
Duh!
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can, spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man.
I stick the knife in 7 inches in the back of black people. She sticks it in the full 8, okay? And I'm not gonna stand for it, okay? I'm out. I'm off of the Republican plantation away from the Democratic plantation. Deontay Johnson, how you end up being conservative, bro? Deontay, for real?
Come on, Deontay.
Your parents did as much as they could and you fucked it up. Asked the president of the Black Conservative Federation asked a question that has yet to be answered. Why is she so hateful? He said Owens was not acting like the Christian she purports to be. Shermichael Singletary, a moderate conservative voice and a regular political pundit for cable news, spoke directly about Owens without using her name. If you're black and a conservative and your only purpose is to take down your own community for applause and acceptance from white people, you have a problem. Oh, he called her Allen and Misfit Black Girls. I see you, player. While Owens has been pressured to finally say that Aubrey didn't deserve to die, she has consistently parroted the unproven accusation she was not just a jogger. The tragic Aubrey case was only the latest instance of Owens being on the wrong side of history. It was only last week that her Twitter account, her main vehicle for spreading hate online, was suspended for trying to inspire lawlessness in Michigan, which remains in lockdown over coronavirus concerns. She encouraged people in Michigan to disobey social distancing guidelines. Someone come cough in her face. She need to catch it. Okay. Uh-huh. And then we know she not gonna get it because she definitely ain't getting her hair done.
Mm. No, she going to Supercuts.
She definitely ain't getting her hair done. So we ain't no way in hell she gonna get it.
Ain't no grease in her hair.
Mm-mm. She do that mess herself.
Yeah, she do.
Wash and go. You could tell.
Right?
Mm-mm-mm.
Her ends is everywhere.
Oh my God. What an idiot. Anyway, 0 to 100.
She on the permanent 100 list.
Yeah, I hate to see coon on coon violence. You know, like, now they fighting amongst themselves.
Come on, can't the coons get along?
Mm-mm-mm. She stayed getting that white people money, though. She don't give a fuck.
Mm-mm, her pocket's lined.
Mm-hmm. All right, that was some good fucking with black people. I have some more. I'm gonna save it for Sunday, but
okay, man,
we got some funny ones in there too. All right, let's get into some guess the race, guys. It's time.
Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we really play news articles. Guess the Race. And Karen's races and everybody else in the chat room's races too. All right, let's get to guessing. All right. Police: woman has been arrested for battering her husband with a Mother's Day bouquet.
Oh shit.
A Florida woman battered her husband with a bouquet on Mother's Day flowers.
Did it have no murder hornets in it?
I don't think so. During a conversation earlier, bees are the ones that pollinate flowers. Conversation earlier yesterday in the couple's home, investigators say that Sandra K. Webb, 32, and her spouse were in their Tampa area residence when matters turned physical around 12:30 a.m. Monday. Webb, seen at the right, was upset at the victim because he bought her children flowers to give her for Mother's Day. And this made the defendant angry. Now, why would that make her angry?
The kids ain't got no jobs.
She allegedly threw the flowers at the victim while he was in bed and struck him with the bouquet. Webb is also accused of spitting on her husband's arm and chest. After being read her rights, Webb reportedly admitted to police she threw the flowers but denied the spitting. Charged with domestic battery, a misdemeanor, Webb was booked into jail for which she was released Monday afternoon on her own recognizance. Okay. Well, Karen, guess the race of Sandra K. Webb.
I'm going black.
Karen's going black. Let's check the chat room, see what they believe. The daddy's still around, black. Carol, the daddy's still around, black. Carol fucking Baskin. Freedom loving, vanilla ice cream white, black and white, black and mad as hell. Looks like a lot of mixed consensus on this one. Karen went with black. The correct answer is white.
Aww.
Oh wait, it's not what I meant to do. I meant to say this.
I got booed.
Yeah, you missed it. Terrible, Karen. And of course, some people got it right. Congrats to all y'all that got it right. Okay. But yeah, Karen, you blew it. Okay. That was terrible. man, I mean, I'm not saying it's a great gift, but in the pandemic time, like, the fuck was he supposed to do?
Right? And the kids ain't got no jobs, so of course he's going to purchase on behalf. It's like, this is a group gift. Right. That's one time where it's a group project.
Now you gotta go to jail with a coronavirus all up in there? Mm-mm. That's her anyway. Yeah, all right.
She did that.
Yeah, I mean, no, not a doubt in my mind. Okay. Let's see. A lot of people getting sick of each other's shit in the coronavirus. A 38-year-old Erica Fall was charged with domestic assault when her boyfriend told authorities that she attempted to strangle him while he was driving because he wouldn't give her a lip balm.
What?
On May 2nd, Walman Webb told officers he and his girlfriend Erica Fall have been in a verbal altercation for most of the day. According to the affidavit, Webb told authorities that the day before, May 1st, he was driving near Cajal Avenue and Gallatin Road after leaving his cousin's home, and Fall was in the back seat. Fall asked him for lip balm, and upon his declination, she proceeded to squeeze his neck while he was driving. He reported the incident later at night court to seek an order of protection. Officers noted Webb had a scrape on his neck. She was arrested and charged with domestic assault. Her bond was set at $1,000. Women are losing it in the corona apocalypse. Karen?
They've had enough of y'all shit. I'm going black again.
Karen's going black again. Let's check the chat room and see what these people believe.
It might be a delay.
Oh, I see it. Cousin lip balm. White people don't have cousins lips or lips black. Ha! We need our lips chapped like our cocoa butter black. No regard for anyone's safety. White, black, white, lip balm, white. Okay. The correct answer is, Karen, what'd you say?
I went black.
You're right. A few of you missed it, though. Yeah, she looks over it. I tell you this much, though. Her lips ain't chapped.
They show lame. She look like, bitch, I'll do it again.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay, this is not my first time.
Mm-mm.
And it won't be my last. All right?
She could have killed them, choking him like that.
Mm-hmm. Man, she kind of looked like, oh no, never mind. I was gonna say one of our listeners, and I was like, they might take that as an insult. Never mind.
Don't be out here choking people, baby.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what if it's them? I don't know. It might be a cousin. I don't, you know what? Let me mind my business. All right, bonus round.
You know they say we all look alike.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right, double the points, double the race, and a bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is 1-1, but can she finish strong with a correct answer? Let's see. Two Florida teenagers have been busted for running around Walmart coughing and spraying workers and customers with Febreze. They told cops they were just trying to be funny and make their videos for YouTube. Responding this evening to a report of a disturbance at Walmart, cops located two suspects who had driven away from the Vero Beach business in a pickup truck. Suspects Amos Troublefield and Antonio Green, both 18, were captured on store surveillance footage recording themselves coughing while spraying Febreze from under their armpits onto customers in the store. The spraying of air freshener on a victim was apparently intended to replicate the explosion of droplets from a mouth during a cough. When questioned, Troublefield and Green told police they were recording a YouTube video depicting them pretending to cough on somebody but actually spraying them with Febreze. When a cop asked the teens why they would be coughing on people during a pandemic, they advised they were just trying to be funny and make their videos for YouTube. They were arrested for disorderly conduct and shoplifting, both misdemeanors. The latter charge stemmed from the duo's use of Febreze bottles taken from the Walmart shelf.
Danny Paper.
The pranksters were each released from the Indian River County Jail, posting $1,000 bond. They are scheduled for arraignment June 2nd. Karen, guess the race.
This is our country, white.
All right, let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Amos and Antonio, black. Amos, white. Antonio, black. They're both the same race, so try again, Brie. Amos and Antonio in a pickup truck trying to do YouTube videos. That's not a race. Florida crackers arrested, black as hell, trying to be RDC world. Antonio tricky, but I'm going to go with white. Italians, because it's the truck and the bond. No school to shoot up white. Moon crickets, black. Amos and Anthony, black. Definitely white. White, my bad, black. The correct answer is, Karen, what'd you go with?
White.
And you are wrong. The correct answer was black. This is our people.
Oh, boo.
Mm-hmm. You see them?
This loader coming up. I don't see anything right now.
Well, yeah, they black, and I couldn't believe it either, guys.
Why are they going to give him a haircut?
Trying to. Yeah. Why do they.
Okay, I thought I was going crazy. I was like, are they gonna cut the hair?
They like they got to get a number two.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, line me up real quick while I'm going to jail.
But like, what you want? I want the number nine.
Yeah, what is that? Why did they do that? I don't know.
They look like they're sitting in the barber's chair.
What's going on in the jails over there? They over there edging people up. And then, don't want your mug shot to look too messed up, player. Come on over here real quick. Let me go ahead and hit you one time.
Let me get them edges straight.
You know, it's the 5G that's really giving the people the COVID. That's what it is. All right, let's do sword ratchetness. Of course, sword ratchetness is where we cover all the news of the crimes that people out here are doing with swords. Mm-hmm. Because we do not take swords seriously as a society, and we allow people to just walk around with these deadly weapons like it's not a big deal. Case in point, we covered a story a long time ago about a man who asked the Iowa court to let him engage in a sword fight with his ex-wife.
Yes.
He has been found not insane.
What?
A Kansas man who sought legal permission in Iowa to engage in a sword fight with his ex-wife is not insane, but merely angry about their child custody arrangement. David Ostrom of Paola, Kansas, asked the January 3rd court filing to be allowed to fight his former wife, Bridget Ostrom, of Harlan, Iowa, and her attorney, Matthew Hudson, so that he can rend their souls from their bodies. The Ostroms have been embroiled in disputes over custody and visitation issues and property tax payments. Man, I know she looked back like, I can't believe I let this motherfucker come inside me. An Iowa judge responded by temporarily suspending David Ostrom's child visitation and ordering an evaluation. It found he is not troubled, but has adjustment disorder with mixed emotional features. It essentially says, I'm not crazy. I just don't like being denied access to my children. Ostrom has asked the court to order psychological evaluations of his ex-wife and her attorney. According to a motion he filed Friday, Ostrom, who was representing himself in court.
They said a lawyer to defend himself is a fool.
Something like that.
Everybody
has
a fool.
A fool for a client.
Yeah, the fool for the client and the lawyer. Everybody crazy.
Ostrom, who is representing himself in court, also filed a second motion Friday asking for parenting time with his children, requesting that he be reimbursed $4,765 in legal fees and $2,200 for psychological evaluation. The motion also seeks $255,000 for emotional damages. Neither Bridget Ostrom nor her attorney responded to the Register's request for comment. He had previously told the Register that he filed his trial combat motion to get media attention for his case. Mm-hmm. You lie. If they would have said yes, this nigga would have been showing up with the motherfucking Star Trek music playing and would have tried to fucking kill her and her lawyer. Fuck out of my face. All right, y'all, that's it. We'll be back Saturday for feedback. Premium people, think Balls Deep is tomorrow night. So until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.